Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, listeners. I'm Joy Ortiz, Army Wife Network social media assistant, coming to you from Jacksonville, Florida, and I have the pleasure of hosting today with Caroline Schaefer, Army Wife Network's producer and marketing assistant. We are looking forward to sharing some empowering resources with you today. This is show number 740 of the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thanks, Joy. Hello, everyone. We are so happy to be here with you, and we have some great stuff in store for you this episode. First up, we will be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your mill spouse life. Then in just a bit, we will hear from Army Wife Network owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, as she chats with Carmen Westbrook, mama, spouse of an active duty service member, and founder of the multinational leadership development organization, INA Giving.
Now, before we hear from this week's guest, I would love to catch up with you, Caroline, as we always do every time we host together. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, yeah, I love chatting with you. We can chat for hours.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, I started a new job. I started a new job 3 weeks ago, and I'm actually getting paid to create podcasts for our local businesses here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I'm also a business consultant. So I work for the Center for Economic Empowerment and Development, and it's called SEED. And yeah, and oh, and it's also part of that is the Women's Business Center. And we help people with small business loans and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you are enjoying your new job. I started a new job. Gosh, it's been a month. On the 20th, it was a month. So I'm still learning a lot of the financial terms,
right?
Just because I came from healthcare, so it's brand new to me. But I have finally I feel now I'm kind of getting into the groove of what I need to do. But yeah, other than that, kids are out of school. We're not putting them in summer camp just because of everything that's going on. We're still iffy about it, as well as being able to save money for the summertime, because daycare and summer camp for the summertime isn't cheap for two kids. So luckily I work from home. My husband is almost done with school, and obviously his school stuff is remote still. So we lucked out, with both of us being here. If it was just me, I probably would have sent them to daycare and summer camp.
Well, listeners, it is now time to check in with this week's Resource Recon, brought to you by our ever empowering band of bloggers. Band of Blogger team member Annie Pierce shares a touching blog with a tad of humor entitled Emotional Toll. She writes, "It starts with a look. You know the look. The one that tells you to control your face and hold your heart. The look that says, after this moment, things will change. That's the look I got tonight from my husband." She continues describing the pre-process for her service member's deployment, saying, "Now is the time for strength, the time to show Chris that everything will be all right. When he deploys, his soldiers need to be his primary focus. My job is to prove that he doesn't need to worry about me. For now, I will revel in the fact that I get to set up the house how I want. Sorry, babe, you had your chance. I told you tonight to voice anything you wanted done with the house. Your silence was my allowance. Remember those cow decorations that you love? Definitely going up the kitchen and not in a box for storage. And Dimmajohns everywhere." To read the rest of Annie's blog or tap into our other 2,500 articles, go to armywifenetwork.com to read the rest of Annie's blog or to tap into our other 2,500 articles. So, Joy, what did you think about this blog?
It was great to read. However, my husband never deployed. He never had to go overseas. I mean, he was only in the Army for a short amount of time, 3 years, but he never had the chance, even though he wanted to, he never had the chance to be deployed overseas or even anywhere here in the States. So I can't relate in that way. However, I can relate in the fact that having to deal with a long separation with your significant other. When he joined the military back in 2013, we were newlyweds. We actually got engaged at Disney, actually Animal Kingdom, earlier that year in 2013, back, I think it was June. We got engaged on our 4-year anniversary. And not that he had any thought about joining at that moment, but he had expressed interest in doing it, you know, in the past, but we never knew that it would be the same year that we got engaged. And so when he started like looking into it more, he was like, okay, this is something that I want to do. And they picked a date for him to leave the same year that we got engaged. And, you know, we're planning our wedding. We had to pick a date to get married. And then all of a sudden his recruiter was like, if you are engaged now to your future wife, you might as well go ahead and get married because it's going to be a hassle when you try to do it afterwards, especially trying to set her up with everything. So we made the decision to get married a couple of weeks before he left for basic training. And that was, you know, it wasn't the most ideal way to start a marriage. I mean, we had been together for 4 years already. So we, you know, really knew everything to know. Well, not everything to know, but most of the things that we liked about each other, we already knew, as well as the things we don't like about each other. As well, you know, anything in a marriage that you like and don't like, it's always in there. So the first, you know, 3 months of our married life, he wasn't here anywhere near me. So it was, you know, phone call every, gosh, 2 or 3 weeks, if that, or letter every two or three weeks, again, if that. So it was hard to, you know, I can't relate in the deployment sense, but having to be separated from your husband, I can relate in that sense because, you know, you're newlywed and you don't expect that to happen when you get married. So we went through basic training, you know, writing letters, talking to each other every now and then. And then I got lucky because the MOS that he picked, his AIT was longer than 20 weeks. So at that time, not that I know if this is still a thing that they do, but if your AIT is longer than a certain amount of weeks, then your spouse is actually allowed to travel with you to where you're going to be training. So he was a 25 Romeo. That's what the MOS he went into when he joined. So we actually got to move to Maryland. I got to move to Maryland with him a month after he graduated from basic training, which was awesome. We had a great time in Maryland. We were there. His AIT was almost 7 months long. So he got there in February and he left in the middle of August. But then there was a hiccup while he was at airborne school. So he was about to actually get separated from the Army. And they gave him the option, because I was pregnant also with our son, if he wanted to be reclassed to be infantry. And so he, you know, that wasn't the ideal thing to do. But because, you know, I was pregnant and he didn't want to be less than Army discharged from the military, he decided to do it. So then now we just spent 6 months together, you know, the first 9 months of our relationship, three of those months we weren't together. Now we're about to go into another almost 3 months again being separated. So the first year of our marriage, we were separated for almost, gosh, 7 months. So it's hard, you know, I mean, and it's not the same as a deployment, you know, keep reiterating that fact. It's not the same as a deployment, but being able to connect with somebody from the separation of your spouse, I had to deal with it. It was hard. It was hard because at that time I was pregnant. We got pregnant with our first and I didn't know anybody in Maryland. I was there by myself because I couldn't move from Maryland unless I wanted to do it on my own dime. And, you know, moving from Maryland to Florida where I'm from is an arm and a leg. And so I waited in Maryland until he got orders. And that's when we moved to Fort Stewart. So, and it was difficult, but you have to power through it and you have to stay strong for the service member to just make sure that they're always focused on what they need to accomplish. Cause it can be hard for them. It can be, you know, it's not the same as deployment as basic training, but there's a task at hand that needs to be accomplished. And if you, you know, put some unnecessary stress that they're already dealing with stress, you know, just, you have to be able to let them stay focused and not get distracted. So, and when you have the separation from your husband like that, you learn about yourself and how strong you can be, not only for them, but for you. So the article was really empowering in that aspect that, you know, And at the same time, you find solace in knowing that you're not the only one having to deal with it. There are other military spouses that have to deal with the same thing, and you guys can band together and, uplift each other. So thanks for that empowering blog, Annie. I really appreciate it. Beyond our blog, we also have empowering things taking place in real life with our Empowerment Patrol Report, followed by a Health Minute from the Army Surgeon General and our weekly News 6 report from Jolene McBeth.
Hello, AWTR listeners. I'm Caroline Schaefer bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Everyday Empowerment recipient, Emily Pugh. The person who nominated Emily said that she is one of the most giving and encouraging people she's ever met. Emily constantly reminds her that she could always get through her husband's deployment. Emily's words are so powerful, and she is a perfect example of a military spouse. She's a blessing to so many people. She's kind and ready to help whenever she hears about a need. Emily is a genuine person, and yet she's still very humble. That's something you just don't see every day. Thank you, Emily Pugh, for doing your part to encourage military families around the globe. Until next time, I'm Caroline Schaefer reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdallah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your June Army Medicine Be As Healthy As You Can Be Health Minute. It's Men's Health Month. American men are at risk for living less healthy and shorter lives than American women. Men's health is critical to the readiness of our force. Men should talk to their doctors regularly about their personal responsibility in preventing disease, their personal health risk, and healthy habits. Suicide is a special concern for male soldiers because men comprise the overwhelming majority of the force, and men are 4 times more likely to die from suicide than women. Educate yourselves about suicide prevention and learn the warning signs to take action. In a crisis, call 911. Get to the nearest emergency room and contact your chaplain or behavioral health provider. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is at 800-273-TALK. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
No news is typically good news in this military life,
except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Joy and Caroline. Here's this week's top stories. Stars and Stripes reported that many troops who had planned on leaving the military have been opting to re-enlist. The Army has offered a temporary reenlistment option for soldiers to stay in an additional 11 months and reported that the Army has already exceeded its retention goal of 50,000 soldiers, reenlisting more than 52,000. And the other services have also met or are closer than planned to their target numbers. A primary theme driving the decision to reenlist: stability. One pilot who asked to remain anonymous said, "I need stability in my life. There's no steady income on the outside or guaranteed income either," said the pilot, adding that in the military, he's guaranteed a job. "While other people are getting laid off and not working, we are still collecting a paycheck and going to work." Read the full story at stripes.com. The Army has released a new app aimed at making your permanent change of station move smoother. Army.mil shared, the app is a central hub of information on entitlements, types of moves, how to plan and schedule a move, claims, and important moving information related to COVID-19. The app was in development before the COVID-19 pandemic and helps the user through a checklist from start to completion of a move. Highlights of the app include deadline reminders, a weight allowance calculator, instructional videos, and important documents and forms, said Army.mil. You can find the free app, Army PCS Move, on both the Google Play Store and the App Store. The Department of Defense has launched a financial education website for military spouses called Mil Spouse Money Mission. The aim of the website is to help military spouses have access to free financial literacy resources. The DoD has shared that some of the key areas of education on the website include Money Ready, a guide to support the education of spouses in tackling a variety of financial topics, Mill Life Milestones, a resource to empower spouses to make smart money moves during life's big moments, videos featuring financial tips and tools by fellow military spouses, a blog with real conversations covering the latest money-related topics and issues, resources with military support links, financial calculators, quizzes, and more to elevate financial literacy, and social media with a community of support and motivation. Check it out at millspousemoneymission.org. In an effort to share a chuckle with you during these tricky times, Military Times reported that someone taped Steve Carell's picture over Space Force's top officer at the U.S. Air Force Museum. The story shares that although the National Museum of the Air Force in Dayton, Ohio has been closed, someone was having some fun. The photo was scotch-taped over the Chief of Space Operations, General John Raymond's official photo, and included a biography of Carell's character, the lead from Netflix's new show, also entitled Space Force. Pop over to our blog to find the link to a photo and bio for a little laugh. Find the link to all of our new 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network New 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Listeners, let's take a quick commercial break, then stay tuned for Sharita's interview with INA Giving founder and mill spouse, Carmen Westbrook.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, PCS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com.
Hello and welcome to another empowering installment of Army Wife Talk Radio's interview segment. I'm Sharita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network Commander. Today, we have the privilege to chat with Carmen Westbrook, a military spouse of 17 years and now the CEO of a multinational corporation. Carmen, a Nebraska native, and her husband, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Westbrook, met at the age of 19. 20 years, 5 deployments, and 4 children later, they're still going strong. In the beginning, she spent 6 full years at home with her children as, quote, just a mom and just a mill spouse, which we all know is really still a huge deal. But during that time, she also learned the ropes through those 8 moves in 3 continents. She now facilitates leadership development for military spouses, governments around the world, and vulnerable populations. Living in Rome, Italy, she currently spends her days on Zoom, Solidarity Sister, and resides with her 3 children and 1 fluffy dog. Thank you for calling all the way from Rome, Carmen. Super excited to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for meeting with me here on Zoom, too.
I'm looking forward to hearing your story about INA and learning more about how we as military spouses can develop more as leaders. It's something I'm super passionate about, so I've got my pen and paper ready for my note taken here. Well, first, as we jump in here, I want to ask, tell us a little bit more about your background as a military spouse.
I have basically no military in my family background. My mom and stepdad who raised me are chemistry professors, so kind of like the opposite of the military. And so when my husband and I met, when we were in university, it was weird. And I was totally not expecting for that to materialize into anything other than just hanging out in college. And then we got married. And so it's been an interesting journey, actually. It's been like a foreign land that I have lived in the whole time that we've been married, and learning like the new language and the culture and everything that's here. And it's been a really, really wonderful ride and a really great place to land. I feel very fortunate at this point to have been in this family.
Well, we mentioned just a few seconds ago in your bio that you've been around the block, you know, literally as far as like PCSing and moving. So you're currently stationed, or you currently live in Rome, Italy. Where else have you been through those 8 moves in 3 continents?
Yeah, so we have been all around the United States, actually. And we were in Seattle. That's where we went to university. And then we went down south to Georgia and North Carolina. And then we did the Southwest and Arizona. And then we started our international expansion. And so we lived overseas. We did our first Acronis to Hawaii, and then back to the DC area. And then after Hawaii, we went straight to Japan. And then we went DC area, and then we are in Rome now, and we're moving to Ethiopia this summer. So
wow,
we have definitely, I know, we've been all over the place. It's weird, when we get to Ethiopia, we will have lived, I think 5 continents. We'll have hit 5 continents then. So the kids are like, we just need to do South America, and then we'll get all of the 6 habitable continents.
That's so, yeah. Amazing. What a journey. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, definitely. Ugh. Yeah. And it's been interesting because I definitely had a very different experiences as a military spouse. And then with my career choices throughout that whole journey too. And my kind of chosen career path was with NGOs. And so in the United States, we call those nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did in North Carolina. And then I was a full-time stay-at-home mom as part of my career progression for 6 years. And then that was an interesting place and time for me to learn a lot about about leadership. And my husband was deploying a lot. He was in leadership positions. So then I kind of ended up being in leadership positions and, mm-hmm. And, you know, raising the family and sort of having to manage all of that at the same time. And then being overseas during that time, was an interesting place to be. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to Japan, I started working with the church there too, and some of the NGOs, and it really, and actually that's a lot of the stuff that I do here too. So it really had that international flavor, really had a big impact on sort of what led me here, and has been such a gift actually to my own personal career path.
I so appreciate how you phrased the time of being kind of that stay/work-at-home mom as being a step in your career progression. Because I think so many of us, especially when we have small children, we feel like, well, we can't really do anything with our career, or our main responsibility is just keeping these tiny humans alive. But speaking from experience, because I'm in a sort of same boat right now, these things that I'm learning right now absolutely inform what I could be doing in a future season of life.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And not only that, but it is an incredible, incredible growth time, mm-hmm. especially in developing and growing our own leadership and management skills. We kind of separate out management and leadership when we're doing our leadership development stuff. And, you know, with small people, it is just all the time leadership and management. Like, it just mm-hmm. is. And so it's fascinating because a lot of times the best leadership development experts that are out there are parents. And I think that so much of that has really been developed on the job, because you know we're with these completely kind of helpless human beings, and we have to take them from not knowing how to do anything to being like a successful member of society, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that is I don't think that we generally especially in Western civilizations give as much value to the value that gives to society and the amount of experience that is gained in that.
Absolutely. I think it's the parenting aspect is just such this delicate, ever evolving balance of like authority and leadership and like information with grace and courage, you know, with these little, these little people, which is so applicable to onboarding employees and raising them up. Because ideally, you know, the key of leadership is to kind of make us replaceable. Like we, you know, when it's our turn to like step down, we want someone else to be able to step in that position. And that's, you think from a family perspective, that's absolutely what we're doing when it's our time to be like, okay, my time as a parent's done. I'm tagging in as a grandparent. Let the fun begin, you know, but they've been raised up and ready to take on that role. That's, oh, what a fun perspective. I've truly never thought about that. That's so applicable.
It's amazing. It's awesome. Really, and it's, and it's, there's so many skill sets that are there. It's just, for me, a lot of it, especially with my work with moms, is, bringing those skill sets to conscious awareness. So we call it conscious leadership. So like 90% of our brain is unconscious and then 10% is conscious. So we're like an iceberg. We're like a big, you know, iceberg floating around. And so it's really, especially in the season of life when we have small kids, I kind of joke that we have PTSD after our kids.
Yes. All the cry, oh my gosh, all the cry puking, all the like emotional outbursts that you're like, what, why are you having a conniption right now? Because I won't let you run with a knife. Like,
I know. I know. I had a mom once say to me, I'm just trying to figure out why they're crying when I said yes. And it's like, I know.
Solidarity. It's happening.
And these are, and so it's like after we've had this huge leadership lab called Small Children, it's, you know, the work that we do is really like bringing those, the leadership skills that were developed and honed and created during that time, bringing it to that conscious awareness level so that then it can be used kind of in service to other people and also used with kind of the more adult, you know, the more adults that are around us and that, like you said, with onboarding co-workers and stuff like that, because in general with adults, we have to use the tools a little bit more in almost like a more refined manner. With kids, we can kind of like practice it and it can be kind of the sledgehammer method, you know, but, you know, but as they get older, so as they enter those teenage years and as we start working with adults, you know, like even like teenagers, it has to be a more refined method. And so when we can take those tools that we've gained and bring them up into our conscious level, we can start realizing, oh, this is this huge toolbox that I have. Okay, which one am I going to use now as I'm going forward?
Makes a lot of sense. I would say that clearly your time as a stay-at-home mom raising these small humans coupled with your international experience, what you mentioned a few minutes ago about all your moves now coming up on almost 5 continents has greatly impacted your work. Can you tell us a little bit more about your international experience and the influence that's had on your career and your leadership development?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So there's a really cool concept out there right now that is that in order to make effective decisions, like the best decision makers kind of tomorrow are going to need to have 3 types of quote unquote intelligence. So we need the IQ and we need the EQ, which is emotional intelligence. And that's a lot of the leadership skills that we especially gain as parents and as moms, there's a lot of EQ that comes from that. And then we also need what's called CQ, which is cultural intelligence. And so as we, you know, we military spouses are so amazing because we get this, we get all of this because we move around so much and we are adapting to new cultures all of the time. And I know, you know, I'm from Nebraska and then I went to university in Washington State and then we moved to Georgia and it was like a brand new land. I literally, like, there were times when I could not actually understand the words because the accent was so thick, you know? And I think it was it was such a gift, you know, for me to be like, oh, wow, the world is totally bigger than I thought it was and so full of such amazing variety. And that has just grown and grown. I think that, you know, Hawaii was definitely an eye-opener because Hawaii is in a lot of ways very different from the mainland, from mainland America. And it has a very distinct culture there as well. And then Japan is so different from that. And we got there right after the big earthquake and tsunami. And so the work that was going on there, working with the vulnerable populations and the NGOs, I just saw what great opportunity was there for all of us to gain this cultural awareness and kind of work together on the issues that are sort of affecting us right now. And right now, we're all sort of starting to understand that just because something happens over there in the world, it also impacts us. It really does. It really impacts us a lot. And so that definitely has informed a lot of the leadership development stuff that we do.
I mean, I love, for the most part, being a military spouse. You know, of course, it has its challenges, but I love just going to these different places because the beginning of our journey started out kind of similar to yours. You know, small town Kansas girl, you know, moves to Georgia, then moves to Washington, back to Georgia, you know, all over the place. And, you know, now in West Texas, and I think there's a couple other in there that I've actually already forgotten, which is bizarre, but I love that the emphasis and the importance of that multicultural context. I think from leadership, from mental health, from social awareness is so impactful with that. And you've taken it a little bit further, you know, so you're very passionate, obviously, about NGO, nonprofit. Tell us a little bit more about the fact that you're in this spot of kind of creating this unique blend of NGO nonprofit stuff with governments through leadership.
Yeah. So we work with vulnerable populations. That's the term that is used now for the populations that NGOs and nonprofits tend to work with. So, you know, I think a lot of us can identify with having been a vulnerable population at some point in our life. I think what's fascinating is that right now, during this time, we're all sort of identifying ourselves as being in that vulnerable position. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of possibility here. And then there's also a lot of looking for connection and kind of looking to find those resources that we have on the inside of ourselves. And so so that is what we do with our leadership development. I'm also a coach. And so I do leadership and executive coaching. And then I also do that with vulnerable populations. One of the things that we as coaches really believe strongly is every person is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, which means that every person has all the answers that they need on the inside of themselves. And it's just our job to kind of like help to strip away any of the barriers that might be in front for them to move forward, for each person to move forward. And so that's the work that we do a lot with the vulnerable populations and really working with people to help them find their voice, to be empowered, to have their voice be a part of the conversation. And so we do that also with partnering coaches from around the world with the people that are in these vulnerable populations. It's a cool, cool program that helps everybody to kind of learn from each other. With the government pairing, like we know that governments make better decisions when vulnerable populations are also part of the process and also have their voice being heard. And there is some really fascinating, amazing research out there about this. And honestly, a lot of it centers around women in vulnerable populations. Working with that group and really kind of getting their voice to be empowered, and then finding spaces where we can connect them with governments and government officials and bring them to the table and bring them to that, be that voice in the community. And it's so funny because in general, women in the West, a lot of the times are kind of like, oh, we've already got this figured out. And I'm like, eh. Yeah. And so, like, how many stay-at-home moms do you know that are in political positions or even like contributing to the discussion at a governor's table? You know, like, how many of those people do we, they're not really there. And those are voices that actually also really, really need to be a part of the conversation too, in order to make those really healthy, like, kind of create a strong ecosystem for us, for each of us as we're going forward and making decisions. And so that is what we build with those partnerships and bringing those two groups together.
So why is this important to military spouses?
So I personally think that military spouses should run the world. I think that
agreed. I vote yes. Let's do it.
They're just so amazing. And I think that one of the things that we military spouses get is we understand how important community is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we are like, we move away all the time from all of our support structures. And we're like, I don't know, but I'm going to get your phone number and we're going to like have a play date tomorrow because I need friends, you know? And we're so good at just having the courage to go out and do that and not be held back from just sort of making stuff happen. And I think that military spouses understand kind of intrinsically the importance of having a lot of voices heard in the system, and that those decisions are better when there are a lot of decision makers. I think that the military has done actually a relatively good job of bringing families into that conversation. I think there's growth there. And I also think that they do a good job of it. And I think that we family members get that. And I think that we have so much to offer in terms of turning around and sharing that with the rest of the world. And, you know, the best military members, like the military members themselves, they leave the military and they are hired on at really high level jobs because the world gets that the military does a good job of training leaders. Well, it does the exact same thing for the spouses. And I think that we spouses need to know that and recognize that about ourselves and go out there and be those voices that are really, really needed in the system, especially now.
I totally agree. That's one of the biggest aspects of joy, I think, finding that community and then realizing, like, I just watch other spouses and they're like kicking in doors and like they're change makers. Yeah. Like you know, you're doing big and important things. And if we didn't embrace that and said we're, quote, just a spouse, like how much would be lost because of that?
And, you know, this is a really cool thing that the military still does really well. And this is part of the reason why I really, again, I think military spouses should lead the world, is that I go out and I do coaching and I do workshops for people all over the world. And I hear from the young women, I hear from them so much. And what I hear over and over is, where are the older women that can raise us up? Mm-hmm. I hear it over and over and over again. And they're like, where are the people that are just a little bit ahead of me on this path? Just a little bit or way ahead of me. Where are they? I need them. I need them so much. And then they get hooked up with mentorship programs and they're like, this isn't that great. And I think that it is. And I think that the military, because I think the military spouses get that it's about relationships and it's about community, and that that's what actually allows for that leadership growth in each one of us as we're moving forward.
I joke sometimes, like I'll meet a new spouse, you know, someone that's like, oh, I'm a newlywed, and you know, they're all super motivated and whatever. And my husband and I are like, we kind of laugh a little bit because we're like, oh, you just don't know yet, but I want to adopt you. Like, come with me. Let me walk through your first change of no plan plans. And, you know,
oh my things, gosh.
Things that, yeah, like, oh my gosh. But, well, it's, yeah. You mentioned in your bio that you run a multinational corporation. What exactly does that mean? And how did you do that as a spouse over the course of 8 moves over ridiculous number of amazing continents?
So let me tell you, it was hard. Like that would probably be like, that would be rule number one. This is actually, there's in Buddhism, the kind of rule number one is life is suffering. And the cool thing is like once you realize that and you can get over it and then it stops mattering, like it's just not a thing anymore. So it was hard. It was legit. It was hard for me to find my career path as I was going through this and moving all over the place, which I think is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about helping to create that career path for other spouses that are out there and really supporting them as they're going forward, because it was complicated for me. The second thing that I would say about it was it's been very enriching for me to do this. When I hear spouses being like, well, I'm just a spouse, or I'm just a mom, you know, or whatever, I really want to say to them to own that and be like, yeah, that's right. I'm just a mom. Do you know what that means? Do you know that what that really means on the inside of me? And see this as a step in your own personal life story, that you are not just a barnacle on the side of your husband or your spouse. You are actually a full human being on your own, and that you were made to do something and you're being put in this position to do something. So it's hard to figure that out. Like, it was really hard for me to see how my career progression was going to go, or how my own life purpose and life story was going to go, when I was kind of like, I just had to do what was kind of given to me by my spouse's career, you know? And it was really hard for me to see it up front. And so what we like to tell people is like, go put the splash of paint on the canvas each day that you're just being called to put on. I don't know what it is. You're not going to know what it is, but after 40 years, you're going to be able to look at it and see the masterpiece that you've created. It's going to make more sense on that back end than it does at the beginning. So when I started my company, I started it in response really to an international aid organization telling me that they didn't even want me to volunteer. They just wanted me to give them money. And I was so upset. And I was like, I have all of this stuff to give you. I have already lived. Like, that was after our move back from Japan. And I was like, I have already lived in 3 continents on the world. What are you talking about? Like, this is ridiculous. And so I started my company, and basically us trying to give people at-home projects that they could do in order to help out with NGOs around the world. And it's morphed into this place of leadership development, and still, again, providing those partnerships for people to help wherever they want to and wherever they're feeling called to help. So we operate now on 3 different continents. We operate on the United States, we operate in Europe, and we operate in Kenya. And we do leadership development workshops, programs, and also executive coaching.
So you're saying that coaching and leadership development essentially provided the foundation for you accomplishing your own dreams and equipping others, kind of breaking out of that just a spouse place. And you use the analogy of just every day paint a little bit on that canvas, and you're not going to be able to see it right now, but looking back in a few decades, it'll make a lot of sense, and it'll be some beautiful masterpiece. So can you take that a little bit further and just really paint that picture out for us?
At a certain point, with the business, I got really stuck. We got stuck. The business got stuck. And we couldn't sort of figure out what was going on. We couldn't figure out how we weren't, you know, hitting the targets that we wanted to hit and just everything. And I remember I was listening to a podcast one day and this person was talking about life coaching. And I have to tell you, the term coach is literally the worst term on the entire planet. I don't know. It was like sometime in the mid to early 90s that somebody came up with that term, and it was a terrible branding decision, and we've been stuck with it ever since. So I hate that term, and I was so against it. And I heard this podcast and I was like, I don't know, but what they're talking about sounds really interesting. Like, I don't want life coach, but like, I love what they're doing. I love this idea of empowering people and helping them to find that those own resources that they have on the inside. And like, that's amazing. Like that is what I want to do. And so, I actually had, a friend here that was a coach, and she started me really on that journey. And then I went through my own coach trainings. I realized as I was getting the training that not only was I getting all these skills that I could use, but I was also changing on the inside too. And I was starting to use all of these skills and tools to take away my own barriers in front of me and just kind of shoot forward to where I wanted to be. It helped me rewrite this story. So we do narrative coaching. That's one of the styles of coaching that we do in our programs. And it's about storytelling. And it's like, what are the stories that we are telling about ourselves? And for so long, the story that I said in my head was, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. How could I ever do anything like that? And that was the story I told in my head. Well, you know what the other side of that story is? The other side of that story is this amazing person that has cultural experience on 3 different continents around the world at that point, and has raised up 3 really long-term projects that are now extremely successful, you know, self-sustaining projects that make me dinner every night, which is amazing. and started my own business, and I started seeing in myself the things that I was hearing from other people. And I started rewriting my own story. And I think, and it helped, it was like all of a sudden I found this incredible freedom to go do the things that I was being called to do.
Oh, I almost don't even have words for that, because I'm like torn right now of like wanting to talk to you for like 6 more hours. And then also being like, no, I got to go. There's like all these cool things I got to do. Like, woo, woo, you know, so, but we do, you have to take a quick break, as much as, you know, I'm kind of like, no, I don't want to. But Carmen, I am just loving this conversation so much so far. And I cannot wait until we come back from this super short break. We'll continue the conversation and chat a little bit more about the leadership development and how we as mill spouses can get involved and, you know, get ready to rule the world. Listeners, if you would like to connect with Carmen and her corporation, please join her Facebook group at Becoming Superwoman. And you can also visit her organization on Instagram at Aina Giving. That's A-I-N-A Giving, G-I-V-I-N-G. Also their website, ainagiving.com, and on YouTube, Aina Giving. Also, very important, this is a giveaway alert. So, yes, free things giveaway. This corporation is giving away 1 free spot to their September 2020 cohort of leadership development facilitators to one of you all, our listeners. This is $150 value, and it's a new initiative to start mill spouses on their path to becoming full-time leadership developer partners. Here's how you win. The first person to email info, that's I-N-F-O, at armywifenetwork.com with the subject line of I'm ready to empower will win. Again, that email, first one, info at armywifenetwork.com, subject line, I'm ready to empower. Just such an awesome giveaway. Awesome. You know, that's our thing. So now it's time for that quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Listeners, we are back talking with Carmen Westbrook about her experience as a MilSpouse leadership facilitator and her work with INA Giving. Okay, Carmen, let's get back to it. What is the best place to get leadership development?
Honestly, the best leadership lab is life. It really is.
Yes.
And going through those life experiences. And some of that can be sped up. And there are actually programs that do that. We have programs that do leadership development ourselves. We have ones that partner with NGOs in different parts around the world. And then we do the in-home leadership development programs. So we're working on this space of coming into people's homes and building out that leadership development, that curriculum that we have, that we've used with governments and corporations and universities, and bringing it into the home too. So I think that the best place really to learn it is by seeing what's going on in life and learning it from life. And then maybe getting some of the tools and skill sets from people who know, it's like, we know the left brain words to put on all of this stuff that each one of us is individually developing and using throughout our lives anyway.
Thinking about how it contributes to all these different aspects of life, will you tell us a little bit more about that?
One of the places that this impacted me the most was in my relationship with my husband. And a lot of this came about because it's like I finally found the words that I needed to have in order to connect to what was going on with him. And when I would try to get into conversations with him about, with the stuff around leadership that drives us. So we as leaders, we talk about how our emotions are kind of like our superpower. And again, that's that emotional intelligence, because our emotions are the things that help to tell us what we're supposed to do next. That's why when people are like, I don't know, I just have a feeling we should do this. We call it a feeling. Like, we literally actually know that this is what's important here. And yet with my spouse, you know, he's been through a lot of deployments. And I think during a lot of those deployments, he needed almost to shut down some of his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in order to like, to deal with stuff and kind of keep moving forward. But then he needed to at some point process through those emotions. And so I couldn't find the right words to poke at him in the right way in order to get there. And I think that a leadership development really, really, really helped to give me those words. And then so interestingly, has that man ever benefited from my leadership development training? Because he now uses all of the same stuff. You know, I basically just turned around and trained him, and he uses all of this same stuff with his team and everybody that he interacts with. It's created a really cool place for partnership with us because now we're both leaning on each other in our strengths, and helping each other grow and develop in our own individual stuff too.
I totally get that, because my husband is the same way, as far as, you know, he has had to disconnect like out of necessity over the 16 years that he's been doing this military jam, and he's infantry. And so that was a challenge, I would say, at the beginning of our relationship, of just not being necessarily on the same page. But now, like, as I've grown as a spouse, learned more about the Army, continue to develop myself as a leader, raising little humans and watching his career. Like, now, just like you said, Carmen, we're able to kind of come together and lean on one another in kind of a higher level of things that connect us with leading other people. So I want to know, how can we mill spouses get involved?
Well, honestly, y'all are my sisters. Like, you are, you're just my sisters. And they're, this community is, I would say, I would love it if anyone joins the Facebook group and also can reach out and really honestly send me an email. My email is Carmen@inagiving.com. You can just send me an email and say, how can I get involved? We legit always find a place at the table for every single person, because I started this company when somebody was like, there's no place for you at the table. And so we have like a company ethos of being like, no, everybody gets to be involved. Any MILSPO who's listening, send me an email. We will find a place for you at the table. We'd love to have you.
We are like, people have so much to offer. I see that in our Army Wife Network team. Most of us have never met in real life, but the diversity of the skill set is just, that's what empowers our organization and hopefully empowers our people. Just so, so good. So I'm getting on my my own soapbox. I need to settle down. It's a little less coffee.
No, chill out. Love it. It's so true.
Oh my gosh.
We call that systems leadership. And it's when we're a part of a system, how do we empower each one of the voices? And you clearly, naturally already have this skill set of understanding that it's not about me being the smartest person in the room. If we think that we're the smartest person in the room, we are wrong. It's about being actually the stupidest person in the room. It literally is. And then and then empowering each one of those voices to come out and use their skill set they have in service. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we have in our team. I see that in a lot of SFRGs now that they're called. And even in my husband's job, how different all of these guys and gals are. But yeah, they do come together to essentially accomplish the mission. Tell us a little bit more, Carmen, about where our listeners can go to find even more empowering information about MILSPO leadership development.
So they can join our Facebook group. It's a great place. It's like all free, all of our stuff. And we literally have conversations with leadership developers and coaches around the world. And we bring the free information there and put in the resources so that if y'all are super busy and don't kind of know where to start, it's a really, really good place to go and start and just see what are the resources that are calling to you. And we have a topic each week that we cover. Yeah, I think that would probably be the easiest and fastest way to go. And if you're a MILSPO and you join that group, can you say holla to me? Because I love it when MILSPOs join our group.
We've mentioned a few times, you have during this conversation, the word empowerment, which is our mission at Army Wife Network. It's one of our primary pillars. So I love this part of the show when we get to hear what empowerment means to our guests. So tell us, Carmen, how would you complete this sentence? Empowerment is?
Empowerment is living our phenomenal life.
Living our phenomenal life. Empowerment is living our phenomenal life as military spouses, as mamas, as friends, all the things. That's great. Really, really good. And I think that your work with INA Giving, with the NGOs and the government leadership synergy you've got going on and how you're raising up people, literally women around the globe, is truly exemplifies and personifies the living your phenomenal life. So we just thank you not only for sharing your journey with us today here at Army Wife Network, but really what you're doing from a global perspective for all these organizations and MILSPOs truly around the globe. We just wish you all the best, and I cannot wait to join your Facebook group at Becoming Superwoman in about 45 seconds when we finish up this convo.
I love it. We'll be so happy to have you there.
Absolutely. And also, listeners, remember the giveaway. If you would like to get a free spot in Carmen's leadership course starting in September, first person to email info@armywifenetwork.com with the subject line of "I'm ready to empower" will win. So thank you again, Carmen, and we do wish you all the best with INA Giving and all the things you're called to do on all the continents.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me here, too. It's been so fun.
Thanks to Carmen for sharing such empowering resources with us this week, inspired by her passion for leadership development and extensive global presence with her Mill Spouse journey. Again, if you would like to connect with Carmen, join her Facebook group at Becoming Superwoman, such a great Facebook group name, or log onto her website, ainagiving.com, that's spelled A-I-N-A giving.com. I listened to the interview recently, Caroline, and it was interesting to know that she didn't have any military background. And then when she met her husband, it was like, oh, here's this whole military life that I didn't know existed. And she just had her business that she has. It empowers women and male spouses, you know, to develop into leadership roles, and they and not just leadership role, but to develop, you know, professionally. And yeah. One thing I love that she said in the interview, she said that male spouses should run the world, because
right.
And not a lot of people know what male spouses go through because they never had to do it. And mind you, I've had background in being a military brat because my dad was in the military, and then being a military spouse. And you know, there are times in my life when my husband was in, and even now that he's a veteran, I'm like, how did we ever deal with that? How did I ever find the strength to be like, okay, when are we going to move? Why is this taking so long? Why are they giving me such headaches over at Deers? You know, why is this PCS not moving as quickly as I want? You know, and I'm sure that is the same questions that most spouses ask. I'm sure you've asked that too, whenever, you know, things have happened like that in your life, in the military life. So it's nice to know that, you know, with, you know, an interview like this with, you know, there's other people that go through the same seasons of life. And it was one other thing I got from her interview was she's lived all over the world.
That's right.
I remember. She's in Rome right now.
I know.
And they're about to move to Ethiopia.
Yeah,
like they're about to be stationed in Ethiopia. Fantastic. There is a base in Ethiopia.
It's fantastic. She has such a great attitude.
Being a CEO and co-founder of her own business, as well as maintaining her household, being a military spouse and a mom.
Right.
Talk about becoming superwoman. That's that group name for her Facebook is to the T perfect. Now that if anybody wants to know what Ina means, actually means mothering or the mothering of earth. So it's such a cool name that they put into her business name. So
yeah. Well, and I love how she talked about that male spouses should run the world because we can, you know, like,
we can. We
totally.
Yeah.
Do. Listeners, don't forget to enter the giveaway for a chance to join the September 2020 Leadership Development Course, which is a $150 value. Just make sure and email info@armywifenetwork.com with the subject line, I'm ready to empower.
As they say in the military, we are nearing the end of exercise point in the programming. As you return to base, or RTB, you know, because the military loves its acronyms, we invite you to join us every Thursday at noon Eastern for our weekly Facebook Live Male Spouse Empowerment Moment. If you aren't able to catch the Facebook Live, the video will also be uploaded to our YouTube channel, and the audio will be converted into a podcast if you need to catch it later. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our next full-length episode when Sherita interviews Kimber Hill of VertForce to hear how they are helping our massively underemployed male spouse community get hired. It's going to be another empowering show.
We also want to thank our sponsors because they help us do what we are called to do and empower all of us military spouses and all of you military spouses. If you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us in our mission to empower military families, send an email to empower@militarywifenetwork.com.
Finally, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond this and all our other podcasts, we invite you to subscribe to our semi-monthly newsletter that's entitled The Sit Rep, that situation report for anyone new to our male spouse neighborhood. We showcase our top blog posts, upcoming AWTR information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and more. Go to armywifenetwork.com and enter your email address in the right sidebar under subscribe to The Sit Rep.
Listeners, it is a true honor to be a part of your Milk Spouse Squad. We are here to cover down for you no matter what military life might throw your way, and we thank you for your continued support and interaction. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.